Every year at this time, it seems as though author Charles Dickens comes alive.
He seemed to leap up into it with a mighty bound, and the ship was gone.
Truly, Mr. Dickens, it is never so alive as when it is spoken by its author.
Thank you.
Mr. Dickens! Mr. Dickens!
Thank you.
He was the most famous celebrity of his time, far beyond a mere writer. The yearly retelling of A Christmas Carol is just one of the echoes of Dickens in our time. A new movie opening Christmas Day, you just heard a bit of it there, brings us into the life of Dickens in a story he could never tell. The charming, charismatic celebrity, a doting father of 10 children, was also the man who maintained an affair for 18 years with a woman less than half his age. Actress Ellen Ternan became Dickens' lover when she was 18. And he was 45. That is the story told in the new movie, The Invisible Woman.
Nellie, it was a mistake.
Did you send Catherine to me?
Yes.
She is the mother of your children. How could you be so cruel to her?
And for that, I shall always be grateful. But I do not love her. She comprehends nothing. She sees nothing. I thought if she saw you, then she would understand that I have nothing with her. I wanted her to see it.
It? What is it, Charles? What is it that we are?
The Invisible Woman stars two-time Oscar nominee Ralph Fiennes as Dickens, who also directed the film. Fiennes says in playing Dickens, he wanted also to inhabit the morally contradictory times of the Victorian era and take the audience into it with him.
I wanted to avoid what I felt were the stereotypes or the tropes of period love affairs where you sort of feel the hearts beating and pulsating from the first scene on, and there are sort of yearning looks across a room and the music surges. I felt this film should chart delicately the stages of relationship. For me, there were all these little details that it's in the design of rooms, it's in the way things are lit, in the way people move. Yes, the ease of physical contact that we are used to today wasn't the case, I don't think, then. But in fact, the so-called physical restraint of people with each other, I think, adds an eroticism in effect.
Well, completely.
Because the stakes are higher all the time.
And we don't sing around the piano. It's a headphone world that we live in, and there's so much social intensity in these scenes, and yet the restraint.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That was what I wanted to explore, and I was lucky to have, in this case, a great actress at the center of it, young Felicity Jones, who plays Nellie. So we should probably talk about her because she is the heart of the film. And she brilliantly, what I love about Felicity is that she suggests a very rich and complex interior. She really does inhabit something, but she keeps it back like someone with a strong hand of cards who's waiting for the moment to play them. And we're fascinated to know what's going on inside.
And a volcano within, in many ways. She's so in love with Dickens' writing. It seems like they are destined to get together on some level.
Yes, she was in love with Dickens. She walked into his life. She seemed to me to encapsulate the sort of almost overly perfect feminine heroines that he writes in his earlier books, in sad contrast to his wife Catherine, who, after 20 years of marriage, I think, couldn't keep up with his furious, boyish, willful energy and had been pregnant every year of their life. And I think that she was tired.
A tough character. She's sympathetic, even in her tired and worn out and passionlessness that doesn't simply put her in a category, it seems.
No, well, it's, again, the interpretation of Catherine is enriched by the brilliant Joanna Scanlon. There's a great scene at the center of this film where Catherine Dickens returns a present, a bracelet, to Nellie, misdirected to Catherine. The jeweller has made the bracelet, thinking it's for Dickens' wife. So Catherine returns this bracelet in a very painful scene. You know, the wife and the other woman meet. When Joanna Scanlon came to read this, she for me absolutely nailed this level of dignity and restraint. But underneath it was you felt terrible, terrible pain. So at some level, she knows she's losing her husband. Mm. But she articulates something really interesting, which I think is very close to the truth. She says to Nellie, "You will never know whether it's you or his public he loves the most." And I think this is one of the central elements. Mm. A man who feels himself defined by his public. Mm. People say, why did he, you know, the way he left Catherine Dickens after 20-odd years of marriage, abruptly, never really spoke to her again, wrote to her maybe twice after that, in fact, instructed his children not to have any contact with their mother. I think his cruel behaviour and his heartbreaking behaviour was that he couldn't confront himself on what the result is. If you leave a relationship and leave a marriage with children, you're going to be a mess. He made himself publicly the victim. The thing that kept him going was these public readings. He loved, I think, contact with an audience and to feel an audience's response.
And accounts of those readings are legendary. Mm. And the readings in this movie, you really see he's the original multimedia man. He's his own celebrity. He's completely in command of it.
Constantly putting out written material, not only his novels, but he edited these weekly or monthly magazines. And his letter, I mean, I bought all the 12 volumes of Dickens' letters.
Well, I won't quiz you on the letters, I promise. one of the last lines in this movie, and I'm not giving anything away, is about how Great Expectations has two endings because of the emotional quality of the original ending, and he changed it at the behest of somebody, at least according to the story. In this story with Nell, he could not write two endings.
No.
He lost that control, and that's really the tragedy here in the end.
Well, the film is really about how Nellie Ternan became the mistress, and there are two time scales in the film. So the first one is the present day. Nellie, we meet Nellie after Dickens has been in her life. So for me, that part is about how Nellie Ternan finds closure with herself about Dickens. Then back in time, the story of Dickens and Nellie is how the stages whereby Nellie agreed to be the mistress. Because what interested me mostly was what were the stages whereby this young woman agreed to become a mistress.
Would you say that the cost these characters bear comes from the Victorian era and the rules that are set down? Or is the cost that Nellie pays for all of this because Dickens on some level is a kind of a predator?
I don't think Dickens is a philanderer. I don't think he's normally a man who finds a sort of predatory role in regards to women. I think that he was smitten, and I think it was a genuine infatuation and passionate love in the end.
Did you admire the character of Dickens that you inhabited? Do you wish that you could be that much the center of attention?
Well, I think Dickens fascinates me in all his totality, and I admire much about him. I think when we seek to appraise famous people, I think sometimes our language is quite impoverished because we go, was he good, was he bad, was he a bit deviant, a bit wasn't very loyal to his wife, he betrayed so-and-so, he drank a lot, or whatever. And I think sometimes the totality of someone, especially if they are of the creative stature of Dickens and what they're carrying, I think we lose sight of. And alongside that, I think Dickens, you know, was a very loyal friend. He was incredibly supportive and helpful to many, many people. His letters are full of concerns for the well-being of others. And he came through for people.
Well, so much there. Ray Fiennes, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great talking to you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Ray Fiennes directed and starred in the upcoming film The Invisible Woman. It's the true story of Charles Dickens. It opens in theaters on Christmas Day. Lots to choose from Charles Dickens' books. What novel is still relevant today? From St. Louis, Missouri, Oliver Twist. It's about respecting the work of each person as an individual apart from education or social status. Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.